administration did not rain.
Did not rain. That's right. There was no gold spittoons. But in any case, here, and I'm guessing there were 60, at least 60 students in that, in my classroom, my section, which was 9, I think I was in 9-3, 9-1, 9-2, 9-3, 9-4, 9-5. Those were the five freshman classrooms, okay? So I was in 9-3, and the homeroom teacher was Father Matt Sheedy, S-H-E-E-D-Y, a burly Irishman from Toronto, who came in and had this absolutely near malicious laugh. You went going, huh? Oh, shake his head. Poor fella, we had a guy in here last year. He kept talking during class and he chewed gum. Poor fella, boy. He just was terrible the way it turned out for him. And he put the fear of the Lord into his. I remember there was a fellow in the front of the, sat in the front row. His name was Sonnenberg. And I forget what Sonnenberg's first name was, but there used to be a wrestler by the name of Gus Sonnenberg. And so, of course, the first day he walked in there, Father Matt Sheedy nicknamed Sonnenberg Gus. He was then Gus Sonnenberg from then on. And that's all we ever knew him by, Gus Sonnenberg. So the particular day, a homework assignment had been given out, and so Father Sheedy comes in and he says, well, Gus, why don't you read us your essay you wrote last night? And Sonnenberg sort of puts his head down, shakes his head back and forth. Haven't got it, Father. What do you mean you haven't got it? Well, I didn't do it. Gus, you're not telling Father you didn't do your homework. Father, I didn't do my homework. And so then Father Matt Sheedy begins to collect the homework from all the other students. Starts in the first row and he goes down and both sides collecting the homework from the boys. And as he collects the homework from each boy, he says, look at Gus. Bob's got his homework. Fred brought his homework in. Here's the homework from Charlie. And you're not telling Father you don't have your homework. And he continues the monologue as he goes through the classroom. Now he comes back up between the third and fourth aisle. He's now approaching Gus from the back and continuing this monologue about people turning in their homework until he finally gets back to Gus again. Now he's standing, hovering over Gus, and he says, come on now, Gus. You really have your homework, don't you? No, Father, I don't have my homework. Whereupon, Matt Sheedy took his right hand, and, you know, he had been offered to play hockey for the Maple Leafs. I mean, he turned it down to go in the priesthood, so he was an athletic guy. He whacked Sonnenberg across the back of the head with just one quick karate chop, I guess, and Sonnenberg's head went down on the table like it was cut off. And he went out cold. And Father Sheedy, I think, got a little nervous that he maybe had gone a little too far. And so he turned to the poor fellow who was sitting in the first seat by the door, and he says, well, Willard, don't sit there. Go get him some water. And Willard Graham gets up out the door, and he later said he didn't know what to do. He had no container with which to bring any water. He sort of went and stood at the drinking fountain wondering what to do, whether to get a handful of it or a mouthful of it or what. But in a moment or two, Gus began to come around, and Father grabbed him by the hair and kind of held his head up like this and shook it. And he was woozy and his head rolling around like this. And Father says, now, you all right, Gus? Oh, yeah, Father, I'm all right. And he said, now, Gus, I didn't mean to hurt you, Gus, but you got to do your homework. So, now, you can imagine, I'm 14 years old, and I've just witnessed this scene, along with 60 other boys. The fear of the Lord Almighty goes right down to our toes. I mean, we are not going to come to class without our homework. I mean, from then forever, you know. And it was just great. I believed then, and I believe now, and I've believed all my life, that the experience of adolescent boys being taught by men is an absolutely unequaled thing, and it has so many great advantages in terms of learning discipline, responsibility, sportsmanship, fellowship. In that setting, it was not uncomfortable for the priest to talk about loving, about respecting women, being a caring person in the presence of girls of that age. It would have been the source of giggling. It wasn't when the priest talked about it in front of the men, the young men. Anyway, I credit those years as a most significant point in my own personal development. I just discovered this morning that my secretary has typed up, apparently while I was on vacation last year, every speech that I ever gave that she has around here, and they go back to 1944 in these big blue volumes.
Did
down
you say
there.
1944. We were 15 years old.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right. I just
no, but we're talking. Sure we're talking about. We're talking about. The influence of these priests and this school on me. Okay.
Right.